This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. I'm Andrew McKean and I'm with David Tuckwell, Global X's Senior Product and Investment Strategist. How are you going, David?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I mean, today we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about gold and, you know, dig into its performance, you know, what's driving it, its outlook, and also compare it with some other asset classes as well. So the first thing I would like to kind of foist on you is, you know, GDP growth is slowing across the world. The scenario is being worsened by demographic shifts. You have a shrinking workforce across a lot of the world. And the remedy to that has been a reliance on printing money, devalues currency and fuels inflation. So I guess in that context, why is gold an important investment? Is it reliable for wealth preservation?
That's a fantastic question. The way we tend to think of gold is sort of as an insurance policy for investors. When you invest in something like shares or property, the reason that you invest in them is that you want long-term wealth creation. When you invest in something like bonds, what you want is that long-term income stream coming in. But for gold, things work a little differently. The way gold mostly works is investors that buy into it hope, for the larger part, that it is the worst performing thing in their portfolio. In a manner not too differently, say that when you buy a house and you take out home insurance, you don't want your house to burn down or to collapse. What you want, the dream setup, is that you pay out those premiums and it's a loss for you. And what instead drives your wealth is the long-term growth of house prices in Australia. So we tend to think of gold in a similar way because gold, for its part, tends to do well and perform very strongly in times that are quite negative for planet Earth, kind of like today, for that matter, where we've got war between Iran and Israel. We've got war between Russia and Ukraine, driving the gold prices up to all-time highs. Gold does well like an insurance policy when times are bad. So investors put it in their portfolio like an insurance, hope that it doesn't do too much for the larger part, and hope instead that the main areas that they're investing in, like property, like shares, are what drives their long-term wealth growth instead. So that's how we tend to think of gold.
I suppose, you know, some people think about it as well as it being a traditional hedge against inflation as well. I mean, these are US numbers, but I think core CPI at the moment is about, you know, 3.5% or so, similar-ish numbers here as well, you know, and I think the return of gold, I think, is about 5% annually. So some argue that increase hasn't really kept pace with the rate of, you know, that and currency debasement. So it might not be as an effective hedge in the current financial landscape. What are your thoughts on that?
From my perspective, it depends when you look at it. Over the past 20 years or so, if you look at our gold ETF, which has been on the ASX for about 21 years now, it's done about 8% a year. So more than the price return of the ASX 200 and very comfortably offsetting the debasement of the Aussie dollar. Mm. So over that time period, things look good. And if you look at Jeremy Siegel, he's a professor of economics at Wharton in the United States. He's extended the time frame even further and looked at how gold has performed over the past 200 and something years. And he's found that gold has provided a real return adjusted for inflation over a very long period of time indeed. Where we have seen some complaints around gold as an inflation hedge is, like you say, over the past 3 years. Gold has done very well over the past month and the past 6 months. And over that time period, it's more than comfortably offset any kind of currency debasement and inflation. However, what some people were hoping, I think, was that gold would rally in 2022 at the same time and in those same moments when inflation ran very hot. And gold didn't necessarily do that. Gold instead waited till now to start performing very, very well. My own view here is if you are looking for a more direct hedge to inflation, you're possibly better off looking at oil, just because oil is so important for the rate of inflation globally. When oil prices rise, the price of toys rise because it becomes more expensive to produce plastic. The price of fertilizers can rise as well because fertilizers, the base ingredient for which is ammonia, are made from natural gases and that kind of fossil fuels. So if you want a more direct inflation hedge, I would suggest maybe better off in oil than in gold. But over the past 3 years, as we have seen currencies debased and inflation run rampant, gold has still performed well, but perhaps not quite to the timing that people may have liked.
Sure. So I guess maybe what I was talking about might be kind of hindered by sort of a short-termism You know, looking at it. So over the long term, you would expect probably a correction back to the norm.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right.
So another issue that's kind of come up, you know, kind of the last decade or so is cryptocurrencies. I shouldn't say an issue, but, you know, some detractors might say they offer a, you know, digital alternative that might represent a more accessible and efficient way to store and transfer value, which I think is a valid argument. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on what you're making of that as well.
So we're in the unique position as a business, GlobalX, here in Australia, in that we provide both ETFs. We provide crypto ETFs and gold ETFs. So we don't have a dog in the fight. That being said, I've got quite strong views on this. And in my opinion, the idea that crypto is replacing gold is just straightforward propaganda from the crypto industry and has no credibility whatsoever. As can be quite self-evidently seen, Bitcoin and gold are very, very different in the way that they function. And they serve and cater towards very, very different investment constituencies. Gold, for its part, is a safe haven asset. It's a liquid alternative. It's the insurance policy. It's what you want when times get rough and go rough. And for the larger part, the people that buy gold are institutional investors, the biggest among which have been central banks. Central banks are and have been for a long time the largest holders of gold. Now, if we cross over to Bitcoin, what we tend to see is investors looking for something like what you might call hot sauce for their portfolio, something that they can take a punt on, like a multi on the weekend on Sportsbet, and hope that they generate big time returns. I don't think any serious person honestly believes that you can put Bitcoin in your portfolio, in your investment portfolio, and use it to replace what gold does for you, which is that, you know, increase at times when geopolitics goes a bit awry. So in my perspective, no, we're not seeing Bitcoin replace gold. They function very differently, very different audiences. I haven't seen any evidence for it.
This is kind of a side point I want to bring up as well, but you know, on portability, I suppose as well, you know, how is gold stored? Where is it stored? You know, I'd imagine it's a fairly laborious sort of process, you know, transferring from, you know, one holder to another. From an ETF provider's perspective, how does that work with redemptions? If you could kind of elaborate on that a little bit for us.
Sure. And that is a question we do get asked a lot. People want to know, how do we prevent an Italian job style situation where the vault gets robbed? And they want to know and understand, when new money comes into a gold ETF like ours, where does that gold come from? To answer the question directly, where does the gold bullion, where do the bars sit? They sit in a very large vault in London run by JP Morgan. JP Morgan, along with HSBC, remain two of the largest private banks vaulting gold worldwide, in large part as a legacy of the gold standard. If you do want to actually go and see the bars held by our ETFs, you go through this security process that's a little bit cinematic, frankly. You get checked in by JP Morgan. They can then blindfold you and put you in the back of the car to drive you to the location that they'd like to keep secret. It sounds like something out of Hollywood. And ultimately, it sort of feels like that too when you go through it. And then you get led through a series of doors, and there's lots of doors in the vault. And you finally go and see the gold bars. When you do see the gold bars, it's interesting how quickly it goes. We, as a business, GlobalX in Australia, have about $3 billion worth of gold bars in our vault. And you'd think that would be like a Harry Potter Gringotts style situation, but no, because each gold bar is worth over $1 million. You take a few steps. That's all you need to take to walk past $3 billion worth of it, because a few medium-sized piles is all it takes. How does the actual delivery work? How do we get the bars in when we get new money come into our ETF? The answer is JP Morgan mostly does that for us. They can get them from a number of places. One is they can get them straight from refiners. So a gold refiner, for instance, in Switzerland might produce the bars that JP Morgan takes in to back our ETFs. Or they can get them from other banks. And banks can arrange between them what get called, and this is a bit of a jargon term, loco swaps, where JP Morgan swaps bars in its vault with HSBC for bars in theirs. And the reason is because, as you said, gold is a very laborious, security risk, expensive thing to move around. The banks naturally want to minimize that. So they prefer, so far as possible, to move things around within piles in their own vaults and not to open the doors too much to let new things in or out.
Sure. I mean, that seems to make sense. Have you ever done one of these JP Morgan tours? I thought someone in your organization may have done it before.
The most recent person to do it was our chief executive officer, actually, Evan Metcalf. He went at the beginning of this year and got the full experience. So yes, we do as a matter of practice, go visit the gold, see that it's all there. So that's the most recent person. Yeah.
I suppose I'll wind things back a little bit as well to finish things off. And that's on what your outlook for the asset class is.
So my view is, and this is again just my opinion, in the near term, in the short term, I think gold is liable to a small correction as investors look to take profits. When we do see any asset hit an all-time highs, investors who have been sitting on it for a while do start to think, okay, I'll take some of my original capital off the table. And I think we're going to start seeing that in the coming weeks as things do settle down, hopefully, in the Middle East. That being said, going into the back half of 2024, my view is that we're more likely to see another leg up in the gold price and see it rise by another couple of hundred US dollars an ounce to something like 2,500 rather than fall. The reason for that is the price of gold, if you're looking for statistics that best predict the gold price, are one, the strength of the US dollar. When the US dollar weakens, like you said, currency debasement, the gold price rises. And the second statistic is the strength of real yields, so yields adjusted for inflation, on US government debt. Currently, futures markets are predicting that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates in the back half of this year. If that prediction proves accurate, then we should, all things being equal, expect that US dollar to weaken and fall, and interest on US government securities to fall as well. And that bodes very, very well for the gold price historically and statistically. So that, for me, could be a catalyst for another leg up. And that's the more likely scenario here.
In an Australian context as well, I suppose, you know, we're expecting interest rates could be cut towards the latter end of this year, possibly early next year, depending on who you ask. I'm guessing that would, you know, have the same similar results here as well. You know, you kind of expect gold to continue outperforming the ASX.
Yes, I can definitely see a scenario where that plays out. Obviously, gold trades in the international market, and the international market in gold, for gold's perspective, largely means the US and China. We're a much smaller player when it comes to setting the international gold price, but we're still a very important one because we've got some of the biggest gold producers, some of the biggest gold refiners. We're a very important source of gold. But for price setting terms, I think the market will be very interested in the US. But yes, I do see a scenario where the gold price continues to outperform the ASX 200 on the back of rate cuts.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming on, David.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.